Not too long before the book of Nehemiah was written, Babylon had come in and destroyed Jerusalem. You remember that? And King Nebuchadnezzar and his army came in and they leveled Jerusalem. They took a bunch of the Jews captive, killed a bunch. That's where we got the book of Daniel. He was a captive in Babylon. Well, 70 years went by. And God had done said, He said, in 70 years I'll bring my people out of Babylon. And they're going to rebuild the walls. And Nehemiah, amen, he's the one that, one of the main characters that led this exodus from Babylon to Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. He was asking, what's going on with their people that didn't get taken captive, that was left in Jerusalem? And verse 3 says, And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. I mean, when the news got to old Nehemiah, and he realized the state of the city of Jerusalem, that the walls had been torn down, and the gates had been burned with fire, and they were suffering there, he began to weep and to mourn. And he fasted and he prayed before God certain days. And I thought, amen, you know, Babylon represents the world. And it represents the false religions of the world to us. And Jerusalem is the city of God. It represents the church of God. And old Nehemiah, he found out that Babylon had torn down the walls of Jerusalem and burned up the gates, and he began to weep. And I thought, when we look around, Babylon has come into the churches, and it's torn down the walls, and it's burnt the gates today. Amen. There's no separation anymore between the church and the world. Amen. They brought in everything that's unclean and ungodly into the church house. The walls has been torn down, and the people that still try to stand up for old Jerusalem, they're afflicted. And I thought, amen, we have to be like Nehemiah. Amen, old Nehemiah, when he saw it, he didn't just throw up his hands and give up, praise God, but he got down on his face and he began to cry and he began to mourn before God. And he said, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray to the God of heaven. I'm going to get a hold of the one that can make a change, praise God. Amen. And you know, that's what we have to do. Amen. It should break your heart when you look around and you see the condition of the churches today, how Babylon has come in and destroyed, and men ain't building the wall up right now. But I tell you what, God is going to have men to stand up and, praise God, build the wall. Amen. We got to build the wall. That wall was to keep out the bad things, to keep out the enemy, and to keep in the good, to keep them safe. Amen, that's your standards. That's your doctrines. Amen, that has to be preached in the church house that keeps the world out there, that keeps Babylon outside, not in the church house. It keeps the sin out there, and it keeps God's people safe. Amen, from wolves and corruption. Amen, we need the walls built back in the churches today. Amen, the world's done a fine job tearing down the walls and burning the gates. Amen, but we better build them back. Jesus Christ is coming for our church. Amen, He's coming for her that's made herself ready. And I want to study the gates of this Jerusalem that had to be built back. Nehemiah, he got his men and he got what he needed, and he began to build the walls of Jerusalem. And they would work on one gate and they'd work down the wall, then they'd work on another gate and then they'd move on down and work on some more. That's what we have to do. We have to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Amen. The men of God are going to have to stand up and start building the walls. Nehemiah chapter 3. Look with me in chapter 3 of Nehemiah. We're going to go through some gates and see what they all mean. Nehemiah 3 verse 1. It says, Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate. Praise God, the first gate that they built back was the sheep gate. Amen, that's teaching us something. The first thing the church is going to have to raise up is the gate for the sheep. Amen, who's the gate Who's the door for the sheep? Do you remember? Amen. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I am the gate of the sheep. And men have to come through me. Salvation begins with a man named Jesus Christ. And people must enter in through the Son of God. Amen. To be saved. Amen. The first gate, the first wall, amen, that has to be built up is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. He has to be lifted up. No compromising with it. Amen. He's the Son of the living God. Amen. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Praise God. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Babylon's trying to tear it down. Babylon is saying that you can get to heaven by some other way besides Jesus, but I'm telling you what, amen, they are wrong. Jesus Christ is the gate, and no man will go to the Father but by him. Amen, you must be born again by the Spirit of God if you're going to go to heaven. Amen, that's the first gate. Jesus Christ has to be lifted up, church. Amen, the gospel has to be preached. Amen, not this easy believism that Babylon is preaching where they say, come say a prayer, and then you can live like a devil, honey, and it's going to be all right. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. Jesus said, there's a narrow gate, a straight gate, didn't he? Amen. They're just preaching a gate. And then behind the gate, there's no way. They said, you can walk any way you want. Jesus said, no, there's a straight gate and a narrow way. Babylon don't like the narrow way. Amen. They want anything to go, but anything's not going. You go through the gate, and you walk the narrow way, and it's that wide. It's wide for one man, praise God, to walk through, and you're walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come on and follow me. Get your cross and follow me. Praise God. He says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Praise God. Amen. There's a straight gate and a narrow way. Praise God. Babylon don't want it. Amen. They don't like that sheep gate. They're trying to tear it down and do away with it. Preaching that everybody's going to heaven. That's not Jesus. That's not the truth. That's not God's church. Amen. Praise God. So the sheep gate church is Jesus. Amen. The sheep gate is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And you'll not come to heaven unless you come through Jesus Christ. Amen. That has to be lifted up. Amen. So they started with that first. Jesus said, I'm Alpha. I'm the first and I'm the last. Praise God. Amen. You start with the sheep gate. You start with Jesus always. Verse 3, after they got the sheep gate up, it says, but the fish gate did the sons of Hezekiah build. Amen. They went from the sheep gate to the fish gate. Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, didn't he? Praise the Lamb of God. Old Peter said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a simple man. And Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. I'm going to teach you the gospel. I'm going to anoint you, and you're going to preach, praise God, and you're going to win men to me. Praise the Lamb of God. The fish gate's next. Amen. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's witnessing. Amen. It's everybody's responsibility to witness to people, to tell them about the sheep gate, about Jesus Christ. Churches ain't doing like they used to do. Amen. Back in the day, the people in the church would witness when they was outside the church. Amen. They was getting people saved outside the church. They was fishermen of men. Amen. Now we try to bring everybody in the church that's lost, draw them in with rock and roll, whatever they can use, and hope the preacher can preach them in. We're not doing our job as fishermen of men, praise God. We're all supposed to be witnessing, trying to get people saved, brought to the Lord. Amen. The early church, when people came to church, they were usually already saved because they got witnessed to outside. Let's make it seeker sensitive, and so sinner people come to church so the preacher can talk to them. Let's make it God sensitive. Amen. Let's make it God sensitive. Amen. That this is what God wants. This is the kind of church that God is pleased with. Amen. And let's do God's work out there and be a light and a witness to the lost and dying world. Let's share Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation and tell them to repent and be saved. To believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So there's the fish gate. Then verse 6 says, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah. They went from the fish gate now to that old gate. We got to seek out what? He said, I want you to seek out and ask for the old path. Where's the good way? And walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls. Amen? That's the gate. Amen? That's another wall that has to be lifted up for the church. Jesus Christ, the gospel, and the old paths. Amen? The old doctrines. Amen? The faith that was once delivered unto the saints 2,000 years ago. I'm not interested in a doctrine that sprung up 50 years ago. I'm not interested in the one that sprung up 100 years ago. I want the doctrine, praise God, that the apostles preached. Amen? They had it all. Amen, that we needed, and it's all we need today. Yeah. Amen, that had it all 2,000 years ago. Any new doctrine springing up, you better run. God says, don't go with the new doctrine. Seek out the old paths and walk in the good way. Praise God, you'll find rest for your soul. Amen, we need the old paths. Amen, we need the old doctrines, the foundational doctrines of the faith, and stand up on them, praise God, church. Amen, they say you're old-fashioned. Man, it ain't old-fashioned. It's believing the Bible. Amen, that's an old book, but it's still alive and it's still good today. Stand upon the Word of God. Lift up the old path that's been preached. Amen. Doctrines about hellfire and brimstone. That's an old doctrine, ain't it? Praise God, I don't want you to preach that no more. Amen, that sin will take you to hell and separate you from God. They don't like for you to preach that anymore. But praise God, there is doctrine, amen, that's old, amen, that's been preached for 2,000 years, and we better get them, better stand up on them, not be moved off. Amen, they're all found in this book. You don't have to run to a prophet down the road to for them to give you a new doctrine. I don't want their new stuff. Amen, I got the good stuff. I got the old King James Bible. Praise God, I don't need a NIV. Amen, I don't need a RSV or a ASV. I got the book, amen, that God has given us as an English-speaking people to preach from. Amen, He gave us that. Amen, get Jesus lifted up, that's the only way. Amen, get the gospel being preached and get the old past, amen, lifted up, the old doctrines of God. Stand up on them. Stand up on them. Amen. Then there's another one that they begin to work on. When they got that one fixed, it says the valley gate repaired Hanan. Amen. The valley gate. Praise God. What's that valley for? It's to humble you. To humble me. Praise God. When you go through a valley, amen, it's a humbling experience. And it's a trusting experience. Praise God. You'll learn to pray in the valley. Amen. Humility in the church. Amen. It's not a rock concert. Amen, we're not up here putting on a rock show to entertain anybody. It's humility. I'm the least of all saints. I'm nothing without God. Amen, nothing. I can do nothing without God. I'm the least. Praise God, I'm the worst. Paul said, I'm the chief among sinners. He knew what he was before he got saved. He knew what he would be without Jesus Christ. Amen. God gives grace to the humble. Praise God. God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Amen. God's people are to be a humble people. Lord, I can't do it on my own. I gotta have you, Lord. Amen, I gotta have you, Lord. Amen, that's humble. The moment you think I can stand, I can do this by myself, you're gonna fall. Amen, that's being proud. Amen, be a humble people. The world don't like humility. They want to beat their chest. Watch them. When they do something right, they want to beat their chest, get on the cameras, tell everybody about it. Amen. The big shops, they give money to a charity, they got to tell the news. Hey, look at me. I just gave some money to the charity. Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Amen. That's not humility. The world don't want it. Amen. Jesus Christ has got a humble people. And He's making us more and more humble. He gives us more and more valleys to walk through that we'll get more and more humble. But when you're all proud and lifted up and nose is in the air and you stumble, it's going to hurt. Pride goes before what? The fall. So He has the valley gate for the church. It's a humble thing. It's a humble church. Hey, man, verse 14, another gate they come to. But the dung gate repaired Malachi. That's trash. That's refuge. Guess what? Hey, man, the church has to lift up a standard. Amen. The Bible says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. The church has a gate, has a wall where it says, you know what? Amen. You're to cleanse yourself from all sin and all filthiness of the flesh, and you're to come out of the world, and you're to be a separated people. Man, that wall has been torn down and crumbled in most churches today. Amen, there's no wall, amen, there's no gate called the dung gate no more where you take your garbage out of your life and you throw it away from you and you begin to walk in as a new creature with a new life. You see, So what that dung gate represents, you get rid of the trash in your life. Amen, the trash. You get rid of that bad talk. You get rid of lying and put it far from you. Amen, the love of the world and the music of the world and the stupid TV shows of the world and the bad movies of the world. Amen, all the things of the world, you get rid of it. That pride of life that's in the world, get rid of it. Put it out of your life. He's got a great big gate for that stuff. God wants the church to do that. All filthiness of the flesh. Amen. We're not here to tell people, it's all right if you do your drugs once in a while. It's not all right. You need to get saved. You need to get right with God. We don't tell people it's all right to get drunk once in a while. We say, you better put it out. Man, I went to a boy one time. He called me. It was after 10, 11 o'clock at night. He said, won't you come pray with me? I said, all right. I knew the boy had been drinking. But I went to his house anyways. And I said, you want to be saved? You're going to repent of your drunkenness, repent of your sins to be saved. He said, yes. And I talked to him for a minute. I said, I'll get down and pray with you. We got down and prayed. He got back up. I said, you feel saved? Do you feel all right? He said, yeah. I said, take that liquor you got in there in the kitchen and pour it down the drain. He said, I thought you were supposed to do that. I said, I ain't supposed to do that. That's yours. He wouldn't do it. Guess what? He didn't get saved. He didn't repent of it. There's a dung gate for children of God to throw your garbage out of. Amen. The church is supposed to be separating itself from the world. Not trying to look like it. Not trying to smell like it. Not to talk like it. Praise God. We're supposed to be different. Amen. Verse 15, another gate. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shalom, the son of Kohose. The fountain gate. The fountain of living water. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. And that's got to be preached in the church. Amen. A lot of churches won't mention the Holy Ghost. Won't mention the Holy Spirit. In other churches, that's all they talk about. And I don't, ain't sure they even got the real Holy Spirit. They don't live holy. Holy Spirit makes you live holy. Unclean spirit makes you unclean. But praise God, the Spirit of God is to be lifted up in the church. Amen. It's the Spirit of God makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit of God that leads you and guides you into all truth. And this word is truth. Amen. It's the Spirit of God that enables me and you to be a light and to be a witness and be a help to somebody in this world. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We need to preach right about the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It's a standard that we need to preach. Amen. Yes, we lift up the Spirit of God. Amen. But praise God, we discern the spirits too. That's what a lot of people's not doing nowadays. I mean, a lot of charismatic churches, they don't want to discern the Spirit. I mean, they're living so worldly, the Holy Spirit's a mile away. So they got to conjure up another spirit. Another spirit that leaves them in sin, but makes them so happy while they're in church and dancing that rock music. It's a different spirit. Fountain gate has to be lifted up. Has to be. The water gate, verse 26, says, moreover, Nethinims dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate towards the east. I thought, amen, that the Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He says, you're clean already because of the word I've spoken on to you. Amen. I believe in baptism, praise God. I believe you're supposed to be baptized when you get saved, amen, in water. There's something, amen, I guarantee is going to wash your soul. Amen. It will cleanse you and purify you, amen. You can get baptized in water and come back out a sinner if your heart ain't right. But I tell you what, you apply that Word of God to your life, it's going to wash you clean. If you start taking the Word of God and reading it and obeying it, praise God, meditating upon it, it'll cleanse your way. It'll cause you, amen, to walk right, praise God. You know, there's a washing of the water by the Word of God, amen, that the children of God has, and it has to be preached. I worry about churches that don't open the Bible at all. You know, I can tell some stories, amen, I've read a lot of good stories. But praise God, them stories I've read don't help you like the Word of God can help you. Amen. One verse of this Bible is better than 1,000 words from my mouth. It's just me. The Word of God. Amen. And they're doing away with it. The church has to read the Word of God. Amen. Preachers apologizing about reading too much Bible. They should never do it. Amen. The Word of God needs to be read in the church house. The people of God better, amen, be appreciating the Word of God. Amen. There was a time the church would come together because they wanted to hear the Bible read to them. They just want it read to them, not even preached. They just want to hear it read because they thought it was precious. Hey, man, there's people that risk their life right now in China to get a hold of this book right here. Hey, man, they probably give half of what they own just to get this book right here. They appreciate it. Amen. But the church now in this country here, it's so bad. Amen. It's so world. They have no love for the truth. They have no love for the Word of God. This is the gift of God that God has given us to know the truth. And there's people been in church 20 years that can read just as good as me or anybody else that's never laid their eyes on a book like Nehemiah. That's never laid their eyes on a book like Chronicles. Amen. There's truth in this book that people's not read that's able to read. It's sad. It's sad. The Word of God is precious. And we got to lift up the water gate. Amen. Let people know right here this will wash you. Amen. Right here, praise God, is what you need. You get into the Word of God and you obey it and it'll make you clean. Praise God, it'll make you a new man. If you obey the Word of God, then praise God. Verse 28. From above the horse gate repaired the priest, everyone over against his house. Another gate called the horse gate. You know, them horses was used for battle. Guess what, church? When you begin to lift these gates up, you begin to preach the walls of the church back up, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have people fight you, come against you, accuse you of tearing down the kingdom of God when you preach against their Babylon. Amen. I ain't tearing down God's kingdom. I want to tear down Babylon to the ground. Amen. I like to see it leveled in the dust. And one day it will be. Praise God. Hey, remember that horse gate represents opposition and persecution. And but the Bible says, son, you got to contend for the faith that was once given to the saints. Amen. You got to fight for it. You got to stand for it. You stand up on the rock of God's word and you don't be moved. Amen. I don't care how popular it is. Amen. To lay aside the Word of God, you don't do it. I don't care how high they can shout down the road. When they lay the Word of God down and ignore it and go against it, you don't fall for it. Amen. Them Baal worshipers jumped waist high when they was worshiping Baal. Amen. But there wasn't of God. Amen. You stand upon the Word of God and you don't budge, and you will be resisted. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. If you live godly, you stand up on this Word of God right here, you will be persecuted. You will have opposition. But you stand and you fight for the truth of God's Word. Amen. Then verse 29. After them repaired Zedek, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shammai, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. Now we've got down to the eastern gate. Who comes through the eastern gate? And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is towards the east. The glory of the Lord came through that gate. Hey, man, that gate represents something that we have to hold up and we have to preach. Hey, man, it's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up and lift up your heads for your redemption draws nigh. Amen, that's another gate you lift up. I mean, that's another wall for the church. Jesus Christ is coming soon. There's going to come trouble. There's going to come tribulation. Praise God. Amen. But the Son of God is a-coming. Praise God. And He's going to have His saints with Him. And He's going to punish the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds which they've ungodly committed. Preachers now don't preach. He's going to come back and punish the ungodly. They say, you know, He's going to come back and get His church. And everybody's going to have a second chance to get saved. Biggest lie that ever was told. Jesus said when He comes back, He's going to tell His angels, go gather up everybody that wouldn't have Me reign over them and slay them in front of Me. They're going to be destroyed when He comes back to reign. Very different from the Jesus that they're preaching. They're preaching a teddy bear hippie Jesus, and He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is who He is. Amen. And He frowns upon sin. Amen. But the glory of the Lord's going to come through that eastern gate. It represents the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 31. And he repaired Melchiah, the goldsmith's son, onto the place of Nethinim's, and of the merchants over against the gate Mithcad, and to the going up of the corner. Praise God, Mithcad. I had to look it up, see what it meant. Two meanings. They go together. One is commandment. Second is inspection. Amen. When the Lord comes back, there's going to be inspection time. We're all going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to give account for the deeds that we've done in this body. And those that's done the will of His Father will inherit the kingdom of God. And there's going to be an inspection time that day. He said, I'm going to put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on my left. And He's going to tell the sheep, come and inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And He's going to look at the goats and He's going to say, depart from Me, you're cursed in everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Inspection time's coming. The final gate. Inspection time. It's coming. I thought about a verse when I read that. It says, when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man which had not on a wedding garment. Do you remember that story? And he said, friend, how came thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He said, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. The king came in to inspect the guest. And there was one man, no wedding garment on. He said, how did you get in? Nobody will have an excuse on that day. Nobody. You better have the wedding garment on. You know what it looks like? It's white as snow. Praise God. It's fine linen. It's white as snow. Praise God. Washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins under the blood. Amen. Walking in His righteousness. Amen. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. That they might inherit and eat from the tree of life, those that do His commandments. Verse 32, and between the going up of the corner onto the sheep gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Guess what they got back to? They went all the way around. They're back to the sheep gate where they started. I am Alpha and I am Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. Amen, says the Lord. Amen. Right back to Jesus. He starts it. He's the author and He's the finisher of your faith. He started it. He'll finish it. Amen. He's the goal of the whole thing. It's Jesus Christ. Now, that's your walls, church. That's your walls. That's your gates. Now let's take it and look at yourself. How's your sheep gate doing? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? Is He your Lord and your Savior? How's your fish gate? You know the gospel. You share the gospel. How's that old gate doing? Are you standing up on the old paths, on the old foundations of the faith and not moving? Do you humble yourselves in the sight of God? That's your valley gate. How about that trash gate, dung gate? You get the trash out of your life? I mean, it's a never-ending process. How about the fountain gate? Are you allowing the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, to have His way in your life? Is the Holy Spirit of God living in you, breathing in you? You know He's in you, and He leads you and guides you. Is that in your life? How about the water gate? Are you in the Word of God? Are you in the Word of God? Do you read it? Do you study it? Meditate upon it. Does it cleanse you? Horse gate. Do you got victory? You getting victory over sin? Getting victory over lust, over anger, covetousness, all these things. We should see a whole line of victims behind us that we've overcome. Amen. One sin after another that's fallen behind us through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Eastern Gate. Are you looking for Jesus Christ? Are you looking for Jesus Christ to return? Are you glad? Is it a joyous thing to think about Jesus is going to come back? I'm going to be with Jesus. Or is it scary to you? How's the inspection gate? Are you ready today to give an account of your life to the Lord? All the deeds that you've done in this body, the Bible says, you'll give account for. Are you ready to give an account? If He's called your name tonight to come home, would you be ready to give an account? Would you say, oh, I'd like to fix some things up before I see Jesus? Better fix them up then. Amen. Fix them up while you got time. If the Lord's coming back, and He said, at an hour you'll think not, I'll come for you. Church. Amen. Inspect the gates. Let's build up the wall. Let's lift it high. Higher the gates, higher the wall. Amen. The less the enemy can come in.